No one can just wave a wand. It takes hard work, hours and hours.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 18, Sydney Bothered and Bewildered. What? Now here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello.
I'm still trying to make sense of that title.
It's from a song, Bewitched, Bothered, Bewildered.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into that said episode, dropping October 28th for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up, the latest Again With Them, our October digest of 90210 OMG. This is a good time to sign up for the Patreon at that level, especially because there will be no Again With This week, Sarah.
No, there will be no Again With This week because it's the fifth Friday in October, but Again With This episode 70, dropping November 5th, will be Let's Watch Christine Elise in Season 6, Episode 21 of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. The episode is called Blood, and it is on Hulu. So we hope that you'll join us to watch that and to hear us talk about it at patreon.com/againwiththis.
All righty. Only two plots this week because the A one was too hard to untangle. So let's start with the B plot. Brooke versus Allison, round 572. Allison stoops to pick up a newspaper on her way out in the morning, which Brooke essentially accuses Allison of stealing from Brooke. When Brooke starts to flounce off, Allison stops her. Clip two.
If you're upset and need to talk, why would you possibly care? I'm your father's widow. That makes us family in a way. Yeah. Maybe I can help. It's just, some mornings I wake up and I feel so left out in the cold. Daddy's gone and now Billy and I. You'll work it out. We haven't yet. You don't know, Allison. I've had to work so hard at this relationship. And all you do is bat your eyelashes and Billy goes running off to find you in Santa Barbara or Palm Springs. It's not the same for me.
Have you ever thought that maybe you tried too hard?
No harder than I am right now. I'm sorry. Being a bitch has become a reflex action.
Relatable.
God, look at me. I'm not even dressed. I've got an entire pile of reports to finish for Amanda this morning.
You know, I have to go into work early anyway. I can get a jump start on those for you. I really don't have time to read this.
Thanks, Allison.
Gives her the paper.
Hey, Billy. See you at the office.
Yep. So, what was that all about?
Oh, Allison, what a sap.
Atta girl.
Starting to get an idea of how we're supposed to feel about the suicide attempt. So Brooke chirps an offer to make Billy a big breakfast. There's no need for them to rush into work if Allison's taking care of things, and Billy looks suspicious some more. And at the office the next day, Billy is telling Allison that she needs to make Brooke do her own work. Allison claims she doesn't mind doing unpaid overtime given her lonely nights, but Billy says that's what Brooke is playing into. Allison tells him to be patient with Brooke, but he's tried that. He never knows what will upset her or what she may do. And for some reason, while they're talking, Allison starts, like, idly playing with Billy's tie, which is not a thing you do with a platonic friend.
No. And he should step out of her proxemic bubble so she can't reach it.
Yeah.
Because he is married to someone else. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Soap.
Of course, Brooke sees this and gets the crazy eyes about it. And that night, Billy walks Allison to her place with a box of work, and when she opens the door, they're both horrified to see the place tossed. Oh, no, it's the FBI again. Just kidding. Slut is scrawled in what seems to be lipstick on a post by the kitchen, and bitch and lying bitch, a little redundant, take it again. So use the second draft, are on the wall and door in the bedroom, and a framed photo of Haley and Allison is smashed and torn on the nightstand. Allison says it was the only one she had of the two of them, which, like, you have negatives. It's the past. But
mm-hmm.
This is the last straw for Billy. And as he's stomping out to find Brooke, Allison goes running after him, yelling at him to stop. Clip 3.
Why are you doing this? Why are you protecting her?
This is exactly what she wants us to do, don't you see? She is taunting us, daring you to push her over the edge. We need to help
her. This is so far beyond help. She is out of control. All right? So save yourself, turn your back, and walk the other way.
I can't. Because of Haley.
Haley?
You'd want me to do whatever I can to help Brooke. Billy, please. For my sake. Don't talk to Brooke when you're this angry.
I cannot let her do this to you. Well, you were right about one thing. Definitely married the wrong woman. Should have been you.
Okay. That would be true if there were two women in the world, but there aren't. Like, the answer can be you shouldn't have married Brooke, and also you shouldn't have married Allison at the same time.
Yeah. I also kind of feel like were Haley still alive, he would be like, you know what? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, get a psych hold on her because I don't know what to tell you. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's Billy.
It's Billy. So
it's Billy.
At Billy and Brooke's place the next night, Brooke serves dinner like they're totally back on the right track together. But Billy says that just because they haven't talked about it doesn't mean there isn't something wrong. Clip 4.
Oh, God.
So why did you trash Allison's apartment?
This is so unfair.
No matter how you feel towards her, you have no right.
Right? What right did she have to turn my father against me or to try to take you away from me, too?
She's the only one that's been on your side.
Stop it! Stop defending her! All you do is defend her! Everything she does is perfect! She's always right and I'm always wrong! That's all I've been hearing since we got married! Well, I did it, okay? I wrecked her apartment! I did it! Are you happy now?
No!
I did it because of you, Billy. You're breaking my heart! All you care about is her! It's always about her!
Stop it now! Look at this!
I'm sorry, I'll clean it up.
I can't live like this anymore.
Billy! Billy! Billy, stop! I'm your wife!
I'm not the woman I married, are you, Chase? Get off!
What? You think you're gonna run to Allison's arms? You're not rich enough for that money-grabbing slut! You're my husband, Billy. For life! For the rest of your life!
Well, the rest of someone's life. Also, I just want to point out, You Will Not Go Through This Alone was the last episode. I'm not saying he needs to stick around when she's being like this, but, like, either commit or don't. Like, don't make empty promises to someone when they're in a hospital bed.
Yeah, or in obvious psychological extremists. Like, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. Also,
there's something wrong here. I mean, she's just
Mr. Herman paging Mr. Herman.
What you heard was her like throwing all the dishes, including a big giant bowl of pasta against the wall, and
Didn't break. It just kind of bounced.
It does. It did make a mess.
The pasta is like flopping around on the floor, and his line reading of everything is terrible, but I kind of enjoyed. Are you happy now?
No.
Yeah. Us either. Please move this plot line to its conclusion. Thank you.
Yeah. The reason I brought up the pasta, though, was that the other night I threw out a bunch of spaghetti and I didn't notice that I'd splashed sauce on the wall because it went while I was – we have a drawer that pulls out with the garbage can in it, and Dave had to come out and tell me, like, what's wrong with you? Just careless. The A plot is nearly everyone gets entangled in Sydney's Jane doping scheme. At the beach house, Sydney is roughly trying to wheel Jane out to a doctor's appointment while Jane complains. Sydney's outfit in the scene is good, by the way. It's a black leather jacket and tights and a red skirt. Jane natters back about Sydney's bad choices, so she doesn't notice the truck coming down the street toward them, but Sydney does and shoves Jane's chair right out into its path. But it was only a beautiful daydream. Jane is fine and lives to complain some more.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God when we rejoin Amanda, she is in her kitchen cutting off Bobby's ape drape, which is a huge improvement. We're talking about Bobby, so I do mean huge. He is an executive now, so he has to impress people in meetings, like he impressed Amanda last night a couple of times. He knows something is bothering her other than his hair. It's Peter. He thinks Peter probably knows exactly what's going on with them, but offers to talk to him. But Amanda will handle it. She's not going to leave things hanging with Peter like she did with Bobby. And then Michael and Kimberly are chasing each other and goofing around on the beach, eventually falling onto the sand as he makes out with her. But it was only a dream again, and he wakes up licking and fondling his pillow, like licking it enough that he's like, And when he comes out, we see that having stomped out of the beach house in the last episode, he is crashing with Peter. To Michael's terrified query, Peter confirms that, yes, Michael is sleeping in the same room that Kimberly was in when she lived there. Michael thinks it's haunted. And then there's a knock at the door. It's Amanda, confused to see Michael there. Peter appears behind him. Michael offers a round of cappuccinos. Come on, man, you're Italian. But Amanda thinks that she and Peter should talk outside. And Peter says this to Michael before following Amanda. Clip 5.
Put a robe on, for God's sake. You're frightening the neighbors.
That's enough to frighten them? Let's see that hug!
I mean, the line delivery was hilarious, but disagree.
So on the front walk, Amanda says she never meant to hurt Peter, but she's in love with Bobby. What was it with Peter, he asks? An act of mercy after he helped her out of the Jack mess or the Michael mess? Dude, you tried to kill her. She had a Peter mess also. But instead of remembering that, Amanda just agrees that she may have been acting out of gratitude, to which he tells her to go to hell. And she stops him before he stomps back inside, grabbing him by the arm, woman-on-man arm grab.
Okay.
Explaining that she didn't know when she started seeing him what it was. And he says this, clip 6.
All I ever wanted in you was a woman who... I don't know.
I'm not that woman, Peter.
You don't believe that. I know you don't.
He didn't finish the sentence. How do you know you weren't that woman?
Well, and here's the thing. You were that woman, and then the writers decided that you should fuck Bobby anyway, so now you're not.
Right.
And, kind of none of this, especially since she has way better chemistry with Jack Wagner than she does with the nose. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right. Whatever.
Yeah.
One of these people will end up dead, and it's probably not Jack Wagner, so fine.
True. So then Joe goes to see Matt, who hustles her inside before identifying the pills that she brought him. That's all she needs to know, but before she can leave, he's like, what the fuck? Is this about? She can't believe he thinks that she would be dumb enough to bring him the pills if she had had anything to do with Jane's stroke. And it wasn't so long ago that people made accusations about Matt killing Paul's wife, which, wow, the writers really want to show off that they got to those episodes, huh? He thinks it's different, but she disagrees. In both cases, the theory is that the jealous lover either did or tried to kill the ex. And if she didn't do it, does she think Richard did? Joe will handle this herself. Matt could still go behind your back to the cops, probably, but whatever. So then Jane's appointment is with her extremely mulleted physician, Dr. Barth.
With two earrings.
Yep.
Scandalous.
Her latest results are encouraging, but she snaps that she's been doing PT and nothing's working. Recovery is a slow and uncertain process, he says. And she crabs that doctors aren't shit, sitting behind their desks giving advice. But surprise, he comes out from behind said desk to show her that he also uses a wheelchair, and she feels like shit. But he says the difference between them is that he'll never walk again and she might. So she apologizes, but he let go of his self-pity a long time ago. Now it's her turn. You give me a lot to think about. So in the hall, Jane is straining to use a payphone that is too high. And Sarah clipped this for the visual aids because, this is not functional design.
No, not functional design. Do better, world.
Indeed. That's when Jake shows up to help her. And we're expected to believe that this guy, who has barely talked to Jane in months, is there because amid his own loan shark drama, he followed a hunch that she would be at the hospital when she wasn't at the beach house because he just needed to see her that much. And no, This is out of nowhere.
And after the last time when he visited her in the hospital and was like, looked like he wanted to chew his own arm off.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. She bravely tells Jake the broad strokes of Richard trying to fuck her over at work. The phone call was to the studio to do some girl bossing over Richard's head. And when she hangs up, clip 7.
Taking it back to Richard, eh?
Why not? He put me in this wheelchair.
Yeah, so to speak.
No, not so to speak. Jake, I'm pretty sure Richard was the one who slipped those drugs into my drink. And when I can prove it, I'm going to nail him to the wall.
Jane, whatever happened, you gotta let it go. Focus on recovery. Isn't walking again the most important thing?
You know what, Jake? I get enough of that kind of advice around here. I don't need it from you, too. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Cool scene. What's the point?
I know. I mean, I'm so sick of this.
I know the point, but whatever.
Yes, of course. We all do. But this whole...
I will also... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Bump, 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 bump.
Sarah, please proceed.
The minute I start talking, he's going to do it.
No, he's not.
No, never.
Yeah, he is. Actually, this is not that interesting. So go ahead, Dave. Anytime you're ready. I have this, I am not a crackpot side thing where whenever they give a fake phone number, I feel like it's 555-0134. And this was only one digit off from that, 555-0133.
Yeah, I feel like we looked this up at some point, and like all the 555 numbers also start with 01.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For reasons.
Anyway, paging Linda Holmes, this one is for you, since I think you also researched this with us, because like us, you have a very full life.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the whole thing with Jake being like, you can't depend on anyone, because no one helps me, and you put on your own oxygen mask first, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
no, like,
God. Fine.
Yes, just ask someone for help with your shit, please, because you can't handle it. Anyway, back to Joe, who apparently feels that handling her Richard suspicions herself means going to Shooters and telling Jake the latest gossip about those pills that she showed him in the last episode.
I mean, relatable.
Jake tells her to go to the cops, but she wants to talk to Richard first. And since Richard has just walked in, Jake offers to confront him on her behalf. And even as Joe is telling him not to, Jake is coming around the bar toward Richard. And Richard bitches that Jane is stopping orders. Jake tries to insert himself, but Joe interrupts him. Clip 8.
Richard would like a beer, maybe.
Yeah, bar boy, stick with what you know.
Admit it. You put Jane in that damn chair so you could have the business all yourself.
Well, I wish you would have thought of it, but I can't take the credit.
All right, both of you, just stop it.
There you go, Joe. What more proof do you need?
Please. Come on, let's get out of here.
Hang on a second. What's he talking about? What proof?
I found pills in your drawer. Phenobarbital. Exactly what was in Jane's bloodstream after her stroke.
So you think that I tried to kill her? That's great, Joe. It's really great. Thanks.
You have to go to the cops, Joe. You don't have a choice anymore.
Yeah, you super don't have a choice, because his reaction would be like, what the fuck? Why would pills be in my office? Where did you find them? Where are they now? Tell me everything.
How do you know what they are? I'm really fucked. I need to go get a lawyer. Talk to you later. Like, yeah.
Dumb.
And again, here, what do the writers want us to think of him?
Right.
Because, like, we know he didn't do this, but it's like the writers want us to think that it's possible, even though so much time is devoted to the fact that, A, Sydney did it, and B, isn't it wacky how she's trying to, how she's just, like, you know, leaving Jane places and not caring whether her feet bang into door jams? Like, guys, this isn't cute, but... Anyway.
Yeah, there's another scene like that with Richard coming up. We will get to it. Mm-hmm. So in the hospital cafeteria the next day, Michael drops a satin nightie onto Kimberly's plate, saying he found it in her bed. Ew, Peter, change the sheets between guests.
Yeah, what the hell?
Michael does go on to explain which of her beds he found it in, to be specific. But he needs her help. Kimberly has to tell Sydney to move herself and Jane out of the beach house. As a therapist, Kimberly can't influence her patients in any way, LOL. But Michael knows it was Kimberly's idea for Sydney to take care of Jane during her recovery. And Kimberly cheerfully claims that she and Sydney came up with that one together. And then notes that technically Kimberly and Michael are still married, so presumably that's going to come up again in a future storyline. Put a pin in that one.
Mm.
Sydney then rolls in, wearing yet another animal print suit, to ask Michael to come home. He will, as soon as Jane has gone. Sydney doesn't want her around either, but what is she supposed to do? Michael doesn't care, but if Jane doesn't get out, both of the sisters are going to get evicted. So Sydney chases Kimberly out to beg for help, but Kimberly agrees with Michael that Jane and Sydney should move out. Sydney can't be around Jane another minute. She's going to fuck up and confess. So Kimberly hands her a phone book, Ask Your Grandparents, and tells her to find a convalescent home. At the office, Joe apologizes to Richard for snitching on him to Jake instead of coming to Richard first. But can Joe really believe Richard would try to kill Jane? Joe says whenever she tries to bring Jane up, he says Jane is off limits. He insists that he has never lied to Joe. So in that case, did he do it? No. About the pills, he can't explain that. And he doesn't know what she should do. And then he brings up the example of going to Hawaii with Joe, even though he knew it would jeopardize his relationship with Jane, as proof that he's something. Like, I don't even, what does that have to do with anything other than reminding us it happened?
I couldn't follow that either.
Yeah.
I think he's basically just trying to guilt her into backing off, which,
right.
Like, since you didn't do anything, who cares?
Yeah. So then he hands her the phone and dares her to call the cops because he doesn't care anymore, which, like, you probably should because this doesn't look good for you.
Yeah. No.
At the office, Sydney reacts in horror at Jane's residency in a convalescent home costing $1,000 a month, LOL. But then she casts an eye toward Peter and gets an idea. He is suspicious of her spontaneous offer of coffee, so she admits that she's been wondering about his living with Michael. Obviously, he hates it. Which, like, Michael is a doctor. Make him go to a hotel. Like, he's not broke.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to happen. But she tells Peter the plan. She puts Jane in a home. Peter pays for it. Michael moves out of Peter's place. This is appealing to Peter. Peter agrees to look at the paperwork, but will not promise anything. And with that, he is going golfing. And he's about to tee off when Bobby rolls up with advice on Peter's golf form, in which Peter is not interested, but Bobby has business. Clip 9.
I got the final settlement papers. If I malpractice suit would have wiped out your private practice. Glad I could take care of it. We're even.
It's always a scorecard with you, isn't it? I keep my practice, you get the girl. Or do you? You know, no one gets a man if she does what she wants. One day she just might want me back.
I'm warning you. Stay away from her.
Or what? What are you gonna do?
Whatever it takes. Just sign him. Send him back to my lawyer.
You set me up from the beginning, didn't you?
That's right. But like I said, we're even. You really ought to do something about that slice.
Oh, no, he didn't. Golf burn.
Golf burn. God.
How dare you, sir? The next day, Amanda and the purple satin suit that makes her look like a Crown Royal bag, which you can see in the visual aids, enter the parking lot to see Peter waiting for her on her car. She claims to be late for a meeting, which he refutes. She's never late for anything. Of course she's not. Our queen.
Mm-hmm.
We would expect nothing less. Mm-mm. She tells him there's nothing left to say. And he wants to know why she sent Mr. Mook to bug him on the golf course. Hey, what happened to Commander Smooth?
Yeah. What happened to Sailor Boy?
Sailor Boy. Amanda doesn't know what Peter is talking about. And he says if Bobby didn't tell her, maybe she should tighten her leash. She says Bobby does whatever he wants. There is no leash. But Peter thinks she got herself a big, dumb dog to feel safe, which, like, it does work, and I approve.
Yeah.
Amanda doesn't even mind the characterization so much. Maybe she needs a big dog like that to keep away rabid strays like Peter. And then we're at Matt's, where Alan, remember him, is coming home with champagne. He is spilling everywhere in celebration of a role he just booked. Only one day, but if they like him, he could come back. By the way, Fred Stoller, who is the comic actor, character actor, you've definitely seen him as a whole book where it's like, it, We Might Bring You Back, I think is the title, or something similar mm-hmm. to that. And it's just basically like his experiences being a guest star on shows and how they always say that and it never happens. So this really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alan wants to take Matt out that night, but Matt says he has a big exam to study for, and Alan immediately shuts down and pouts that it's always something. Matt's like, can't we do it another night? But Alan is committed to being a martyr and a drama queen about it. Clip 10.
I understand school's important. We both want you to do well. Look, don't worry about me.
Alan, come on.
Something really great has happened to me, and I wanted to share it with you.
Well, it's just... You know, I get a little obsessive about the school, and I know it's a lousy excuse, but it's the only one I've got. I'm proud of you, Wesley. So look, Wesley. If the offer's still open, just give me an hour to finish up and let's go out, okay? And I can give you a few pointers on how to be a real doctor. Congratulations.
Okay. No offense to actors, and this is coming from a humanities major, so my degrees are also bullshit, but, like, he's in medical school.
Well, really.
It's hard.
Yeah. As a poetry major married to an actor, like, this shit's gotta wait. It's med school.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. Play doctor after he's done studying. It's not that hard.
It's really not. Anyway, Alan and Brooke should make friends. Give their attitude these days.
Needy.
Later, Sydney makes a big show of wheeling Jane through shooters and then parks her so she's facing a railing and leaves. And Jake saw all this and brings Jane a beer and sits with her. She was not sure he would want to talk to her. He caught her on a pretty bad day when they met at the phone at the hospital. But she just can't stand being a burden to anyone. Oh, speaking Jake's language. And he asks if she wants to dance. She doesn't, but she will take a rain check. Again, pin in that. So then we see that the reason Sydney left Jane was so she could go tour Sunlight Corners Nursing Facility. And if Jane is as great as Sydney is, flirt, flirt, director Harlan Kingston will love having Jane there. And so Sydney starts to barter at the price. What if Jane had a roommate? That plus a windowless room, yikes, knocks the price down to $8.50. She skips breakfast, $7.50. And that's his lowest. Sydney says it's too bad because she would have liked to come and visit Jane there all the time and hang out with this guy, too. Whereupon he decides $6.50 would be fine, and they're on. Yuck. Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Peter's, Michael is trying to convince Peter to go out with him to a topless bar, but Peter is only interested in one woman. They argue about which of them has a healthier attitude about relationships. When Michael muses about going back to Kimberly, Peter tells him to stick with Sydney, who loves every ugly thing about Michael. True, by the way.
Good advice.
Yep. Then there's a knock at the door. They also argue about who's going to get it, but it's Sydney rushing in to tell Peter all about the nursing home. And he shuts her up, motioning toward Michael down the hall, so she lowers her voice to tell him about her crazy deal. She will kick in $400 if he tops up the rest, and he will. As long as she does not tell Michael, Peter is involved and gets Michael out ASAP. And she promises the next day. So then Peter leaves and Sydney tells Michael she got Jane into the nursing home as a charity case. So Michael can move back in the next night. But he and Peter are watching the playoff game the next night. Sydney knows how he gets. He hasn't had a woman in a while. Gross way to phrase it. Ew. And he starts casting about, usually someone who's bad for him. Unlike her, someone who's very good. And he actually seems convinced. And here's that scene with Richard. Yikes. The next night, Jane comes out of the studio to see Richard waiting for her because his car's dead and he needs a ride. But he stops her before she can start it, and she volunteers that she hasn't gone to the cops and isn't going to, and she's sorry about the whole mess. And so is he. Clip 11.
Jane's impossible sometimes. The way she uses people, her underhanded way of doing business, it drives me crazy. And I've had thoughts. But Joe, I would never do anything about it.
Okay, so she says, I know that, instead of, did you just say I've had thoughts of killing Jane? Dude?
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's so crazy. Yeah.
Also, it's so obvious that his car is fine. Like, yes. If this is someone that you even had an inkling, like a glimmer, might have tried to kill Jane, like, maybe just make him go to a coffee shop in his own car.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, Joe.
Anyway,
have we learned nothing
bad
from Reed, whom the writers have forgotten existed?
Yeah, seriously. So he feels bad that his anger about Jane pushed Joe away. She was scared when she found the pills. Suddenly she didn't trust her feelings. But discovering that she couldn't go to the cops about it is what made her realize she's in love with him. Okay, but wait. His explanation for the pills being in his office was, I have no explanation. Like, if he had been the culprit, it would be weird for him to leave him at his place of work.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in that case, why wouldn't he go to the cops and say, someone put these in my office. Obviously, I am not guilty or I would not be volunteering this evidence to you.
Right.
Stupid Joe. They kiss. He offers to follow her home because the thing about his car's dead battery is the last lie he's gonna tell her. Nah, nah, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're at the office of Alicia Barnett, attorney at law. You will remember her from such cases as representing Matt in a murder trial, which is why she would probably have zero reason to handle Peter's malpractice suit, as we are being asked to believe she is doing currently. He was told to return the papers to her, and she flirts that he could have mailed them, and he flirts back that he wouldn't have gotten to meet her if he had. And he also wanted to thank her personally for her help. Bobby asked her to, so she did, she says. Clip 12.
But he must have a lot of legal work, huh? I mean, to keep an attorney full time.
Whatever you want to know about my client, you'll have to ask him.
Actually, I was curious if you ever have any free time.
If you need an attorney, I can recommend one. But if you need a date, Dr. Burns, you're out of luck.
It's Peter. And I'm a lot luckier than you think.
That is a great line. Great
it is
line.
Very good.
I mean, it's sleazy, and he should take no for an answer, but great line.
But also, I'm only interested in one woman was last night. Just saying. Like, that was real fast turnaround.
Okay, but, you know, if he's trying to get into Bobby's files, not a euphemism.
Okay, good point. Over to the nursing home, where Sydney and her Jackie O Halloween costume, which you can see in the visual aids.
Oh, guys. It's not the worst one either.
No, but it's not great. She's wheeling in Jane, the latter protesting that it's an old folks home. And Harlan comes down to greet Jane personally. Lots of their residents have had strokes, and there's great healing power in speaking with people who've had the same experience. They just need Jane to sign the admission forms, and they'll bring her in to meet her roommates, plural, Dorothy and Olivia. And Jane, who thought they were just there for a tour, announces that she's not staying there and backs over Sydney's foot, heading back to the car. And Sydney's like, stop her! And they cut back to Jane wheeling away, and the only other person around is an old lady using a walker. It's very good.
Yeah.
Sydney takes the papers from Harlan and goes after Jane, who icily asks how Sydney could do this to her. And Sydney, actually seeming remorseful, apologizes and goes to get the car. Amazingly, it gets worse.
They should not be playing this for laughs. They really shouldn't. But everyone involved is really, like, doing their best, given that that's the tone.
Yes.
It shouldn't be the tone, but they're playing it very well for that tone. It just shouldn't be happening.
I hope it changes after this episode, and we will get to it, but, I mean, we'll see. So that night, Jake has just told Matt he's going to go visit Jane when Alicia shows up and happily greets her old client. She is, in fact, looking for Jake and exposits that she's out of criminal litigation now, which I guess just means she handles all legal. Hmm. There's a pregnant pause before Matt is like, okay, bye, which is when we learn that Bobby sent Alicia there to sort out Jake's problem with Monty. Clip 13.
My client recently took over your loan.
Monty sold me out.
This is to your benefit. Monty is a lowlife who offered you an illegal loan. But now we turn it around into a legal investment.
Who's your client?
He wishes to remain anonymous. I'll handle all transactions.
Wait a minute. If I owe somebody money, I want to know who it is.
Please, Mr. Hanson. He prefers to be a silent partner, letting you run things your way.
And from what I know about Monty's way of doing business, I suggest you count your blessings.
What? You know what? Who cares? Monty and that whole part of it is done. Great.
Yes.
Bobby, thank you. Who cares? Loan.
Absolutely. This is going to be Dylan at the Peach Pit after dark all over again. With like, who fucking owns what at this point?
Yeah. I mean, and if we ever do a Melrose book, I am not repeating my forensic examination of the bar of Shooters and then Shooters upstairs or Shooters back door, whatever it's called,
yeah.
Because I can't care because the writers can't either, because this is just obstacles that don't matter.
That is the case. At the beach house, Jane says, dinner smells great. Sydney says it's for her and Michael, and Jane refuses to have dinner with Michael, and Sydney's like, that's right, and pushes her out onto the deck just for a couple of hours because Michael won't stay if Jane is there. Jane could have been watching Cocoon with the other nursing home residents, but she had to be a bitch about it. Jane begs Sydney not to leave her out there on the deck, but Sydney's not going to do that because she's going to push her out onto the beach with a blanket since it could get chilly. Jane doesn't know what she's supposed to do out there for 2 hours, and Sydney does not care. And apparently it does not occur to Jane to just yell loud enough for Michael to hear her when he gets there. They're like 50 yards from the house.
Or wait for someone to walk by.
Yeah, I mean, it's night, but yeah, could happen. True.
I mean, yeah. Can we talk about what Sydney's wearing in this?
Sure.
The hair bow is back.
It is.
With the, Elvira bump. And then on the bottom, it's like the 90s-est version of the go-go outfit ever, like super shiny gold shirt.
Yeah.
And then at some point, she puts like a plastic vinyl trench coat over that. Like it is uber 96.
Mm-hmm.
Uber 96. Total trash and vaudeville items.
Yep.
Awful. The bows have got to stop. Got to stop.
Yeah. The bows are really what makes – they're the worst part. Like everything else would almost – get you there, except
yeah.
Then the bow is like it's the one last thing that makes it costume.
Yeah, yeah, and also like that the go-go boots are always white. Like just
yes. Well, she's got a pink
pair
too. But yeah,
yeah.
So then Amanda's storming into Bobby's office to confront him about the golf course visit, which Amanda specifically asked him not to do. Clip 14.
I do what I think's best. You accept that? Nobody tells me what to do.
Nobody tells me what to do.
I guess that makes us two pretty stubborn people.
Stubborn people who can't keep their hands off each other.
Fine. Once again, The director wisely has the makeout start with Bobby in a seated position. Mm-hmm. So they got
in which
it.
He's still almost as tall as she is.
It's true. At the beach house, the happy couple has just finished dessert, and with Michael softened up, Sydney admits there's just one snag with his return, which is Jane's phobia of nursing homes. They have to convince her to sign the papers. Sydney will make it worth Michael's while to stay in the meantime, and she has just climbed onto his lap when there's a knock at the door. It is Jake looking for Jane. Sydney tells him to come back in a few hours, but Jake insists, so finally Sydney admits that Jane is out there. So Jake goes looking for her while Michael can only manage to be bothered about this for a few seconds before resuming kissing Sydney. Outside, Jake yells for Jane, not bothering to listen between yells to hear a voice calling for help, but he soon sees an empty wheelchair half tipped over in the sand.
Which made me laugh and should not have.
No.
Because that's fucked up. Like,
that is.
Those are some changeling visuals. And I was like, snort, especially since the soundtrack is just like, squeeze, squeedly. And then it's just like at a very art directed 45 degree angle. And then there's a swoop zoom in on Jake's face. Like,
yep.
Guys, come on.
So what has happened is Jane's in the water and Jake runs into the ocean to rescue her. And when they're both on the beach, she tells him why she was there and that then the tide came in and pulled her out. And intensely looking back at the house, Jake declares that he's not going to let anything happen to her. But Jake, you're a lone wolf. You don't need this, etc. That's it for this episode. Let us close by naming our episode MVP. Bobby, he's kind of getting everything he wants.
And he got a haircut.
So, and he got a haircut.
Comfortable. Comfortable with that.
Yeah. Least valuable player. I know there are objectively Sydney. Worse people, but I'm so sick of Alan. Sorry.
I mean, I'm not sure that there are. Like, we just don't know what is if Alan is going to be the new Paul. But I'm going to go with Sydney. Like, this isn't cute.
No.
Not even, like, outfits entirely aside, this is not cute.
No, it's very bad. I agree.
Next time on Again With This, Jane starts another business. Peter starts proxy messing with Bobby, Billy starts over, or tries to, and February sweeps start early with a kidnapping plot. You should start Pepto-loading in preparation for viewing our visual aids. You can find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you'll find a link to buy our very special 90210 book, which is available in all formats. To learn more, follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, or kick back at the Kitchen Island for a haircut and have a listen to our Patreon episodes. There's tons of extra 90210 and Melrose content, including our monthly recaps of the 90210MG podcast, and you'll find all of it at patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm neighbor frightener Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is illegal loan aggregator Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And we understand our producer David T. Cole is important. Talk to you next time. Ooh. What?